parents are pressured to get the kids the help because the teachers are complaining. So it's this trickling effect. And so they go to someone who's quick to prescribe a medication, but you haven't dealt with the root cause of the issue. It's just a Band-Aid.
You're listening to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, your home for holistic, evidence-based cognitive enhancement strategies. And now your host, Eric Levi.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, where we discuss holistic, lifestyle-based cognitive enhancement. My name is Eric, the Holistic A-Hole. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner. And today on the podcast, I have Dr. Leslie Sanders. Dr. Leslie K. Sanders is a licensed clinical psychologist providing clinical services with an integrative medicine approach in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. She obtained her doctoral degree from the George Washington University, completed her pre-doctoral training at Tulane University Department of Neurology and Psychology, and completed two-year postdoctoral training at the University of Virginia Department of Psychiatric Medicine. In pursuit of connecting the bridge between psychology and medicine, Dr. Sanders became certified in integrative medicine for mental health. As a part of the integrative medicine approach, mindfulness techniques are utilized in the treatment process along with nutraceuticals and botanicals. Dr. Sanders also uses traditional talk therapy with a biopsychosocial model, educating her patients that the mind and body connection is bidirectional. In order to heal the brain, we must heal the body and vice versa. Dr. Sanders is passionate about helping her patients, both children and adults, gain a sense of empowerment by understanding that they can take control of their overall health and wellness. So we had a real interesting conversation, Dr. Leslie Sanders and I, really about this whole idea of her practice in functional integrative psychology. And it's really interesting the tools she uses to get at the root source, the root cause of people's psychosocial problems and their different psychiatries to really understand why they think the way they do. You know, this is beyond the scope of traditional psychotherapy. What she's doing is actually trying to help reshape the brain using diet and lifestyle techniques. She uses a lot of really interesting, you know, what we would consider biohacking tools. She uses the biomat. She uses a lot of different supplements and nootropics. She uses this really cool tool called the Ion Cleanse. It's like a little foot bath, and toxins just come out of your feet, really. She appreciates the strong link between the gut and brain, how the brain affects the gut and how the gut, the things we put in our gut, truly affect the brain. And that's where her whole integrative approach comes from. We talk about the different foods that sabotage mental health. We talk a lot about her work with children and child psychology and her integrative approach, again, to helping children really overcome these disabilities, these mental disabilities they come in with, things like ADHD and anxiety and depression and even autism and PANS and PANDAS, some of these infections that we know are physical, but they affect the brain and get treated as brain issues versus physical issues. So there's a lot we get into in this podcast. It's real interesting. I'm super excited for you guys to hear it. I know you're going to love it. And if you are new to the podcast, please remember to subscribe. It's super easy. Just hit the subscribe button right there in your phone, in your podcast player. And if you enjoy the podcast, leave a nice review. It's super easy to do if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And all the show notes to this podcast and every podcast that we've posted can be found at holisticnootropics.com/podcast. Again, that includes show notes, links, and references to everything that we discuss in the show. And if you are new to nootropics or you want to learn more about using supplements, diet, and lifestyle to hack your brain for peak performance, check out holisticnootropics.com. And with no further ado, please enjoy my talk today with Dr. Leslie Sanders.
Many people don't communicate with intent. So for example, if you say to a child, "Hey, you want to clean up?" Well, that's a question where you really want the child to clean up the toys, or we want them to get ready to go, take their shower, get ready for bed. Those transition times are really important to make sure that the parents are clear on what their intention is. So if you ask the question, well, guess what? The child has the opportunity to tell you no. But if it's a statement, if it's a command, then you need them to comply. parents also are having difficulty with setting proper consequences. So what that then means is that the generational boundaries are blurred. So the child doesn't really know where do they stand. So a lot of those constructs and difficulties are I'm seeing in families. And I think that because of the coronavirus, that has gone up exponentially. Because for the first time ever, I think that people's work lives and parenting lives have blurred and have merged in such a way, and that there's no outlet. So when the kids are done with their distance learning, then they're left to their devices, whether it be it's their gaming systems or their phones, and then they are for extended periods of time. And so the parents are just having a harder time with the discipline because the parents are overwhelmed, understandably so, given the fact that, you know, you're stuck in the house and no one has an outlet. The kids don't have much of an outlet. So everyone's in the house. And so studies have shown that there's an uptick in domestic violence and child abuse because of coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, that was a thing I've been thinking about. I mean, because obviously the family is going to have the family unit relationships. You're going to have problems that come up all the time. And if there was a pre-existing issue there, I mean, when you're literally stuck in the house, I mean, that can't be a good thing.
That's absolutely, absolutely. So if anything was under the surface, the coronavirus brought it up and, you know, made it show his ugly face and for families to have to deal with it. So, I mean, people are already stressed anyway, which is a major toxin to us these days. So, you know, what other way do you increase stress and you rip everyone apart from their outlets or their, you know, their vice, right? Or whatever is their coping mechanism of that's going to happy hour or hanging out with friends or, you know, whatever people were doing to free up their time or to kind of like unwind. You don't have it.
Yeah. So do you see with kids this time, specifically this coronavirus time, and they've been at home, obviously it's a stressor to the parents, but I mean, what are the kids you find dealing with right now?
Surprisingly, kids want to go to school. So, you know, I want to speak with them and kind of joke like, you want to have a day off. Now you have lots of days off from school, and everyone that I've spoke with want to be back in school. They miss their friends. So that social contact, that connectedness, even though they're connecting with their friends on FaceTime or Zoom, it's just not the tangible contact. So they're missing that connection. And we are people who need that contact. I mean, that's how we thrive, you know, as humans, is just that proximity and closeness to others. And so now being stripped of that ability to do that, people are really struggling. And people who didn't have good coping mechanisms before are really suffering, which is why, you know, scientists and researchers are projecting that mental health is the next pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, I already see it. I saw it in myself. I pride myself on being pretty level-headed, you know, doing self-wellness practices. But there is a point, and it's starting to kind of go away now as things open up. But I mean, there was a point where I was really starting to feel, you know, an uptick in anxiety. You know, there was a point where I was starting to feel these depressed feelings that I hadn't felt for years. And it was just, I think it's the physicality of just the same four walls, just being around that, not being allowed to get out. And then of course, that connection, that oxytocin you get from being around other people, when that's missing, the stress response starts to uptick a little bit.
And then it becomes a domino effect at that point. And talk about distractibility. I mean, so what about the children that have special needs? So all those things, you know, play a factor in this distance learning, being at home. And though it's a necessity because of the coronavirus that we had to do the stay-at-home orders, but I mean, it is definitely almost like likened to a trauma, you know, being able to be, you're confined in the home and a new way of having to learn. You're stripped away from all the things that you love and that you like to do. And I mean, it's very, very difficult, very, very stressful. And so, you know, in trying to, and you know, increase levels of stress decrease your immunity.
Yes.
So you gotta find that balance, because then you put yourself at greater risk for the coronavirus. And so it's like, it's just this cycle. And so, I work with my patients about meditation, self-care, taking a break, and talking to my patients, the parents, saying to them, you know, make a list of any of the expectations that you have of yourself as a parent and as a person or as a spouse, whatever the circumstances are, and cut that in half. because it's too much pressure. The way in which you conducted your life before coronavirus must be done differently. And then they felt more relaxed in being able to do that. And, you know, carving out time for yourself is important. Pre-coronavirus, during coronavirus, and after coronavirus, but especially now when you're in the house and there's nowhere else to go, gotta find some time to just literally breathe and do nothing.
And do you find that when a parent feels the need to do that, and then they finally do that, I mean, what is the response of the child? Does a child respond in a way that says, well, if mom and dad now, they seem to be taking care of themselves. Obviously, they might not say it like that, but right. You know, they maybe feel that energy of like, well, mom and dad seem to be more calm. They seem to be more relaxed. They seem to be handling these stressful situations better. For a child, is that kind of like an internal thing now that they reciprocate it, or is there also a response where maybe the kid becomes more needful for more attention?
So we go back to the communication. So as long as the parents are verbalizing, okay, mom and dad, we're going to take a time out. We're going to take a break, a still moment or quiet moment, and then support the child to do it as well. You know, so it's just like modeling. So sometimes the kids may not make that direct correlation. So you have to say it out loud. And I did encourage parents to create a schedule at home so that they would have a schedule at school, do one at home, so they can also fit in that quiet time for their child as well.
I don't have kids myself, but I have friends who are parents, and I was talking to one, and he tells me that it's very important for parents to, how do you say this? The kid is not the number one priority in your life. The number one priority in your life is the relationship between mom and dad. Obviously, keeping the kid alive is kind of important, but you know, right. A lot of parents will become the best friends of their children, and that in a way almost sabotages the health of the relationship and of your own mom and dad relationship.
Absolutely. When the parent tries to be the child's friend, one, you've already lost your ability to be the role of an authority figure. And so therefore the generational boundaries are blurred. Therefore, compliance is going to be a problem. So you can be friendly, you know, you can have good times, of course, and you want to have good lines of communication with your children as well, because you want to need to know what's happening in their lives and help them to process, you know, all aspects of their lives. But once you cross that boundary and become more of a friend and being afraid to set in limits and being afraid of, you know, saying no to them, it's a very difficult battle of being able to kind of repair that. It can be done, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of work. And kids will buck against it.
Wow. Yeah.
And consistency is important too. So if parents aren't consistent with it, they do it sometimes, but then at other times, it creates a major issue, because kids definitely thrive with structure. So, you know, when parents flip-flop, there's no structure, then you can't expect anything. Kids thrive with the consistency, predictability, and stability in their environments.
So do you find then that the kids that you work with who have these, you know, kind of mental health issues, is a big factor in that lack of structure or lack of consistency in a child's life?
I would say that yes, that's the issue, but maybe not primary. Now that I've been trained in integrative medicine, I think the largest thing that I'm seeing is looking at the toxins in kids' lives. Mm. Because then that's bringing more of some of this disruption and the irritability, the lack of focus, concentration, whether it be it also some of the autism spectrum symptoms. So I think that's primary, because I guess the air is not the cleanest it could be. Our food, so there's contaminants and toxins all around us. Then the next layers, our environment might be toxic. Like if their family's having unhealthy lines of communication, if there's a lot of tension, if there's domestic violence, even for children, witnessing domestic violence is a form of child maltreatment. So, you know, if that's happening, or on top of if there's bullying at school, so there's different layers, but I think that the core of it is probably the toxins to be addressed first. I just think that parents are more fearful these days to make their kids upset by saying no. So that also, so the kids have a sense of, a quasi sense of control or power in their households, which is also a problem, which makes it difficult in the school setting as well, because the teachers are not going to stand for that. So it's multi-layered.
Well, that's always been a place, you know, where I kind of start from. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, and nutrition is always where, you know, I'm coming from, and I'm looking at things like toxins. That's why I love, you know, we connected through the Great Plains people, and you know, their different organic acids tests and the GPL tox. And I'd imagine if you run that on children, you would probably find a lot of elevated levels of different environmental toxins. And I wonder if you could almost kind of correlate that to certain behaviors.
Absolutely. So my first discussion with families upon intake, and I hear what their concerns are. And then I begin to talk about, has the child had strep? Has the child had pneumonia? Any head trauma? And then I talk about the foods that they're eating. And then I begin to talk about the different studies to be run for me to first figure out how the brain is functioning. So it is going to be the OATS test, because I can see the neurotransmitters that's, you know, in the gut. And I'm looking for also mold and other toxins and yeast. And there is a correlation, because one thing that's consistent is inflammation. So inflammation, of course, is the culprit for many of our health concerns and underlying issues with disease. So I'm looking for those factors. And oftentimes it's the, like if I'm looking for ADHD, or if I'm looking if there's PANS and PANDAS, if I'm looking for anything that's a direct insult to the brain, you'll see lower levels of like choline. You see lower levels of B vitamins. You'll see lower levels of magnesium. And so I will look for those first and like encourage the families. And some families are open to it. I think that many families are looking for something different, to not feel like that they are stuck to a prescription, because that just is an endless process. I think this allows parents to feel somewhat empowered. They can do something. They have something concrete that they can hold on to, and to see the various levels, and that there's things that you can actually do to improve that. And we've seen, you know, great outcomes. I work with Dr. Marjorie McKnight, who is a traditionally trained pediatrician, but she's also trained in integrative medicine. And so in working with her, she has a phlebotomist. And so we work together to kind of get the blood work and some of the studies together, to like micronutrient testing, things like that, to kind of see what's really going on. Because even if you take the supplements, well, if your body's not able to, like methylation is the issue, or if you're not able to absorb it, then you're doing nothing. And so got to kind of figure out, how is the body actually working and functioning? And also, how is it like metabolizing like energy? Then we have to kind of work with that first, and then heal the gut, you know, and so it's the whole process. And so many families seem to be open to it and seeing lots of great results into doing this without having any psychopharmacology.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a curveball, I'd imagine, to so many parents. Like, wait a second, the diet, the lack of nutrients affects that. That's the thing that gives the ADHD or leads to some, because I think we've taken these pathologies, whether it's ADHD or depression, and we've said there's depression, there's anxiety, there's ADHD, and here's the pill that you do to take care of those. And we forget that there's so many factors that play into all of those. And it could be so many different factors that, you know, you have to really take that integrative approach, you know, whether it's with diet or movement or detox. And really, I mean, sometimes you have to experiment. There is no silver bullet. So that must be such a shock to some parents.
Absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, if you and I were to go into a psychiatrist's office and to say we having symptoms similar to whether it be ADHD or depression, you and I will walk out typically with the same prescription. And the beautiful thing about integrative medicine is that they think of us as like, you know, a zebra. We're all unique with our own stripes. No one's the same. So, you know, we shouldn't be treated the same. We should not be given the same prescription. And so looking into each individual as to how they're metabolizing their vitamins and supplements and so forth, or even their foods, like where are the minerals levels? Because again, if you're stressed out, that's depleted. If you're on medication, that's also depleted. So, you know, even people have to be on medicine. Well, let's just shore up the minerals to help optimize the medication that if you have to be on it. I mean, oftentimes I try to titrate people off of it. But I think medication has a place, but I don't think that it should be the first course of action.
Yeah. And I think that it's more effective when you actually work with the foundations. You know, there's one instance of giving somebody medication and you say, well, here's the medication. But if they're, like you said, their gut doesn't metabolize it, if it doesn't go to the right place in the first place, of course, you know, of course it's going to fail. But if you optimize the gut, if you optimize the liver, if you stabilize the blood sugar, then, I mean, the person, child or adult, will feel better, you know, and then you... Right. If they need the medication on top of that, I mean, the medication is just that much more effective. It's just absolutely a better ROI.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And people are beginning to understand that. The more, you know, you share and they begin to see the studies and then they begin to try out the vitamins and to get things back up. So within 6 months, you may run the blood work again. But they're seeing if impact and effects positive before they get the next blood draw. You know, they're beginning to feel better. The parents are seeing their children, they're focusing better, or they're more able to socialize with those with autism. And because what we're doing is you're reducing the inflammation, which is also improving the circuitry in the brain, you know, putting them on good, clean omegas, which is a healthy, you know, fat to help support their brain functioning. You know, I mean, all those things, you know, play huge factors. And also in support of what you're talking about as far as nutrition, you know, there's a direct correlation between junk food and depression. Mm-hmm. You know, also in these foods, most of our foods isn't whole foods. People are eating out of bags and boxes. And so, you know, the preservatives and the things that crosses the blood-brain barrier, like the red dye, is having impact. And so, you know, all these things, you know, are having a direct correlation as to how people are feeling. So once they understand that and saying, like, you have, you know, the ability and can be empowered to have a direct impact on your overall wealth, health and well-being, then they get it. And then they just completely take off and soar.
I got to commend you for the work that you do here, because it's got to be so frustrating to talk to somebody. And I imagine after somebody spends money to get this service, they're maybe a little more receptive, but you know, when you're just talking to somebody or you're debating on social media or whatever, and you explain to somebody like, look, these preservatives, these ingredients that are in these foods, whatever they sell in the middle of the grocery store, that's what I tell people. It's the middle of the grocery store. This is where all the problems are.
But
these ingredients, when you look at the side, like people are looking at the macros, right? They're looking at, oh, how many carbs does this have? How much fat does this have? And I go, no. Look at below. Look, you see that long list? The body does not know what that is. You know, that stuff was just invented, you know, within the last 50 years. And the body has no idea what red 6 and blue 4 and, you know, something dioxide and something nitrate. Doesn't know what any of that stuff is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the numbers are staggering as far as, you know, mental health and brain health related diagnoses, calling it a public health issue. There are more and more people, and the kids, the age of children who are being diagnosed and also prescribed medications get younger and younger every year, you know? And it's concerning because there are no longitudinal studies about the impact on these kids with these medications long-term, you know, at the age of 2, you know, giving them these heavy doses of medication, because basically when the parents can't handle the behaviors, kids are very explosive and aggressive. My point is helping the parents, one, again, look into the body, what's happening, because every child's behavior is purposeful. They're trying to tell us something, but we have to pay attention to it. And it's our job to kind of have to unlock it. But if we pay enough attention, we can figure out what's happening. Oftentimes, again, parents are pressured to get the kids the help because the teachers are complaining. So it's this trickling effect. And so they go to someone who's quick to prescribe a medication. But oftentimes it's either the wrong medication, because like you said, it's trial and error. You know, you're just going to just try this dosage, and then you have to titrate it up until you get what you want, which is basically improved behaviors or less explosiveness or increased concentration and focus. But that doesn't mean that that's what's needed, you know, and then it becomes something that you're stuck with for the remainder of your life. Unless you just yourself stop, but you haven't dealt with the root cause of the issue. It's just a band-aid.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to take a second to break away from the podcast to tell you about my favorite preformulated nootropic stack. That is Mind Lab Pro. I I look at MindLab Pro kind of like a nootropic multivitamin. If you're a nootropic newbie, this is a great nootropic stack to start with. Even if you're an experienced nootropic user, maybe you've been putting together your own kind of different stacks using different nootropics together, and maybe you've hit a plateau, maybe you just haven't found the one that works right for you. Maybe you found something that worked right, and then you try to pair it with something else, and the whole thing kind of fell apart, and then that original nootropic doesn't work for you. MindLab Pro is pre-formulated. It's made by scientists, so they actually pre-formulate it with the right amounts, the right ingredients, 11 research-backed nootropic ingredients, by the way, that are proven to help boost your cognition, your memory, your focus, your mood, all those benefits you look for out of a nootropic, especially a nootropic stack, you're going to get with MindLab Pro. You've got acetylcholine, which is going to boost your acetylcholine production. It's going to boost dopamine. It's going to boost your focus. It's going to boost your memory, your processing speed. You've got phosphatidylserine, which is going to help you with nerve growth factor. It's got glucose metabolism enhancement. You've got the modulation of the HPA axis. It's going to help your energy levels. It's going to help your mood. It's going to help your stress levels, which is so important. You've got Bacopa monnieri. You've got rhodiola, an amazing adaptogenic herb. You got one of the most popular nootropic or holistic nootropics out there, lion's mane mushroom. You're getting that nerve growth factor, literally growing new brain, promotes healthy brain cell function. So many amazing benefits from lion's mane. You've also got things like maritime pine bark extract, and of course, N-acetyl L-tyrosine, which is going to help boost dopamine levels, and of course, norepinephrine levels. So if you need a boost in mood, if you're dealing with some depression, if you just need to be a little bit more lively, let's say you're kind of falling apart going out in social situations, assuming you're breaking your social distancing, you're going out, you need a little N-acetyl L-tyrosine. And then, of course, one of the classic great nootropics, L-theanine. Hit that alpha brainwave, get into flow. If you're trying to pair something with coffee to take the edge off a little bit, or if you're just getting rid of caffeine in general, L-theanine is a great nootropic amino acid. And then you have the cofactors, the B vitamins to help really put everything together, B6, B9, B12, you know, it's like you can have all these amazing nootropics together, but if you don't turn on the fire, if you don't stir the pot, that's what the B vitamins do. They help get everything together so that it's metabolized, it hits your brain, it works the way it's supposed to do. Right now, we have a deal with MindLab Pro directly through holisticnootropics.com. You get 3 months of MindLab Pro with an extra fourth month for free. Just go on over to holisticnootropics.com/MindLab Pro. Again, holisticnootropics.com/MindLab Pro. Get one free month of MindLab Pro with the purchase of three. You can't beat this deal. The nootropic multivitamin, MindLab Pro, my favorite. Okay, let's get back into the podcast. And it's so hard to communicate to people, I bet, sometimes when you tell them, like, look, there's a reason the manufacturer tells you there's all of these side effects that come with these medications, because those aren't side effects. Those are the effects. For some people, the wrong medication can have devastating effects.
And it exacerbates whatever you're dealing with. So that's absolutely correct. And there's actually a test called GenoMind that actually is a genetic test that actually picks up which medication is best suited for that particular person. That's also something that we use as well. If we have to go a medication route, we do the cheek swab, which is kind of looks in to see the neurotransmitters in the brain and, you know, which one's more excitable than the other. And that's exactly correct. We should all take the same medication because we have the same symptoms.
The genetic stuff is super interesting. I feel like we just are now scratching the surface of it. And for so many people, it's such a profound thing, you know, even down to the point of what foods work best. You know, what genes do you have that work with this food, or, you know, what toxin are you most susceptible to? So use food and nutrition to get that stuff out of you. And yeah, it's a great tool.
That's why I feel like, you know, just help to, a lot of my work is just education to the families, and then they can decide which way they want to go. I mean, if they choose to not do the studies, of course, I'll continue to work with them, but they don't get the same kind of outcome and results. I had a patient who we tested for had PANS and PANDAS, and they wanted to hospitalize her. Oftentimes what happens is it's an infection that comes and attacks the body and has an inflammatory response, and you have all kinds of symptoms, but it's brain-based. And typically what happens, these kiddos get sent to psychiatrists because they're having lots of irritability, maybe some hallucinations, a lot of body pains, which is joint pains, and some cognitive regression, so they're seen by psychiatrists and or hospitalized. But again, with some of the studies that we do, the blood work, the OATS test, and GenoMind, and the micronutrient test, able to see what's really going on, and using the nutraceuticals and the botanicals help to really clear out the body, and doing lots of good detox and clean out the liver, you see remarkable change. And so those who are able to kind of really trust the process, you know, they get, like you said, huge ROI in their health and feeling better than ever.
And what kind of nutraceuticals or nootropics or herbals are you using in your practice?
So biocidin is one of them. And so that is broad spectrum, which is pretty awesome. And so it crosses the blood-brain barrier. So sometimes if Lyme gets stuck in there in the brain, it crosses everything and pulls everything out. And it crosses the biofilm. So what happens, some people get sick and then they get a rebound illness. It's because it's stuck in the biofilm. And so the biocidin crosses and pulls everything out. So it's a pretty awesome tool. And we use that a lot. CDP choline, so that's often used for ADHD or any kind of brain-based injury or insults to the brain. It's also used for preventiveness, as far as it's good for preventing the coronavirus. It's good because it helps inhibit the protein that the coronavirus excites. We also use a good clean grade of omegas. Magnesium sometimes is used because it helps to calm the central nervous system. And so it's just gonna kind of depends on what the case, but those are some of the varieties of things that we often go to when we see some of these cases. And then using the ion cleanse, which helps to pull out the toxins, the environmental toxins. So, you know, doing that periodically is often helpful too.
And with magnesium specifically, is there, which form do you use of that?
So it's a powder form. It's typically used the magnesium thionate because that crosses the blood-brain barrier, and also that helps to reduce the magnesium flush. You know, cause sometimes people get too much of it, you have the magnesium flush, but magnesium thionate is the one that we use.
Got you. Yeah, I've used the biocidin myself, and that is such an interesting botanical. The idea of biofilms is such a gnarly concept. You know how these fungus and these bacteria, they just hide, you know, they just hide and they communicate. Yes. And I mean, man, one day this has to go mainstream, you know, one day they we have to start in being okay, introducing this to children, to just mainstream knowledge, to make it so people understand that we are more microbe than we are human. And these microbes, they've got a world of their own, and they are not about, you know, just leaving because you want them to leave. Like, they hunker down, and these biofilms is such a crazy concept.
The microbes, I think that one test and lesson in that is the coronavirus, because I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, this organism that's hiding and is vicious. And I think that there's more of those pathogens that's out there. And so we really got to shore up inside of our bodies, you know, and to find those things to clear ourselves out, because I think that this virus, I think, is teaching us a lot about, you know, all these microorganisms out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just goes to show how little we understand about microorganisms.
You know, I guess my concern is whenever they have this magic vaccine, what's that going to look like? You know, if our bodies are not strong enough to withstand it, what are we going to see? Because the more that people get sick, is particularly the children, like the scientists did not anticipate the children having this kind of response. Now you have a pediatric syndrome, you know, and it's the whole body is having an impact. So, you know, I'm not so sure. So if our bodies don't have strong immune systems, what's that reaction going to look like? And so that's why, you know, even now, support my patients now, take care of your immune system, strengthen it. You might be okay now, but you got to keep it strong, you know, when this next wave comes and or whenever we get this vaccine, because some people have strong reactions to vaccines. And so then what are we going to do about that? Yeah. You know, and so I just think that it's an ongoing issue and conversation. And I think that integrative and or functional medicine is the place to be. And having that information to be able to keep us strong and healthy and to be able to combat these things. And it has a different approach to protecting us prophylactically and also dealing with, you know, if you happen to get the coronavirus or any other, you know, illness or disease. I mean, it has a very comprehensive approach which I think, you know, benefits everybody.
And kind of going back to, you know, this idea of, you know, microbes and children's health, do you see a connection between antibiotics and maybe even vaccines, but really more antibiotics, because I find they're more, doctors are more cavalier with antibiotics, you know, but I know, or I've heard there's a lot of connection between their use and then mental disorders.
The antibiotics are overly used because I think the parents want the kids to be better, you know, sooner, and they don't allow themselves to trust the body's process to be able to heal itself. So there is definitely an overuse of acetaminophen and ibuprofen, and also antibiotics. And the antibiotics cut away at the microbiome. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're doing that, then of course, now you also have negatively impacted your immune system. Now you also potentially have a leaky gut. Well, if you have a leaky gut, now you have a leaky brain. And so it's just this, again, another domino effect. And so oftentimes, again, not to say never have antibiotics, but if you have to have it, you got to pair it with a probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And if not already on the probiotic, we have to kind of add it, because everyone should be on a probiotic anyway. But you have to definitely probably either change it or, you know, increase the doses if you happen to be on an antibiotic to help protect your microbiome, and also to help to protect, you know, the layer outside the gut, and also the layer, because it's the same construct over the gut and over the brain.
Yeah.
So being able to protect your brain as well in the process, because, you know, it becomes... And if kids get sick and they're having lots and lots of antibiotics, you're right, you're going to have a direct correlation with the behaviors, because you have a leaky gut now, and now you also have a leaky brain.
Yeah. And then you pair that on with, you know, the processed food going in there. I mean, I don't think most people aren't sophisticated enough to do the antibiotic probiotic combination. It's like antibiotic, you're feeling great. Great. Let's make bologna sandwiches. Let's make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's right. So then you're just adding more toxins into that, you know, it's the processed foods and all the delta chemicals, mixing on in there, you know, and yes. So it becomes a major, major problem. And having people to be more in control, again, of their diet and their lifestyle. And so I think that changing foods is huge. You know, people are busy, and I get that. Life is full. But it, taking the time to just even have to cook with your children and the family, that's another activity that can be done. But helping the kids to understand that they, you know, they have control of how they feel by choosing the right foods.
Yeah. So what do you do then with, I mean, because I 100% buy into the leaky gut, leaky brain. I mean, it's not even have to buy into it. The science is there. You know, it's been written about right in the literature. So, but I don't think... This is a thing that's, again, another idea that's accepted mainstream. You know, I think there's people who hear the word leaky gut and they think, okay, crazy, you know, but they don't understand, like, no, this is a real process, this is a real thing that happens. So how do you kind of navigate leaky gut and fixing the gut? And then, you know, when you look at a child, what behaviors do you see correlate with, or even an adult, you know, what behaviors do you see correlate with a leaky gut situation?
Well, leaky gut, you may see, you know, of course, abdominal pain, you may see some joint pain, you may see some hyperactivity and mood instability. And so those are some of the things, that lack of concentration and focus. So it's like getting all the different pieces of the puzzle. It may not be one thing. I think it's multifaceted. So, but that's typically on the surface, some of the symptoms that I may see. Also, I can probably assume that someone has a leaky gut based off of a diet alone. If I don't even know the behaviors based off the diet, you've got to have a leaky gut. Or if you have had a lot of antibiotics as a child and you're now an adult, must have a leaky gut. And so, but definitely brain fog, you know, lack of concentration, mood instability, because if it's happening in the brain, that's not the problem. It just shows up in the brain. The problem is in the body.
It's insane, like, how I know when my body did not accept a food. It's the brain fog. That's how I know. It was like, you know, I don't get stomach issues bad, but I know when I ate a food the day before, and I know, you know, it could be a couple days, but it always comes in and it's like, I slept 8 hours. Why do I feel so tired? Why do I feel like so just kind of out of it today? I can't formulate sentences correctly. And again, I think, you know, coming from the nootropics world, people will run and they'll go grab, you know, a supplement, like, and it could be a very powerful supplement. You know, for some people, they'll grab something like modafinil, which is prescription, or some people will grab Adderall or something. And, you know, and then of course people use things like magnesium threonate or CDB choline or something like that. And that's fine, but people will start stacking multiple things, and really it's more systemic in the gut with the brain fog.
That's right. And but what you're talking about there, and so what I've been helping my patients do is to mindful eating. So be aware of what you're eating, how your body feels, because your body's going to tell you, you know. And but some people just so robotic like in going through life, and that they just, they, you're eating, you're moving on, and not kind of slowing things down. And so you know yourself well enough and your body well enough, and you're listening to it, you know, you're present. I think that, and so I'm helping my patients to be more present and to listen and be more attuned to your body and to pay attention. It's like something else happened there. Doesn't mean that you have to go and grab a medication, but what is it that you ate? What is it that you did? And so when people begin to slow down, to pay more attention, I think that the tide is turning. I think people are becoming more aware. I think people are tired of the medications. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't go away, right? You have to keep getting higher doses, and you may have to add something else on to combat like the effects, as you say. I mean, so it's just a never ending kind of a process. And the stimulants are a gateway to the opioid crisis. The stimulants are also, and all the other psychotropic medications are now being linked to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. I mean, it's just not a pretty picture. And I think it's a short-term solution, you know, of mixing whatever that current behavior is, but it's a long-term liability.
You're the first person I've heard say that the stimulants is a gateway to the opioids, you know, and that's what frustrates me so much about the opioid crisis, is that people talk about it and it's like, where did it come from? I don't know. The news, like is sponsored by the companies that make the opioids. And if you watch the news, every commercial break is going to have some medication. And like you said, some of these medications are the gateway to the opioids. Like, I don't know how people are so strong. I don't know how the pharmaceutical industry is worth billions and potentially trillions of dollars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so, and we're teaching our kids, you know, younger, that you have to take a medication to feel good or to be right or to correct something. And I think that's the wrong message to give.
Yeah. And I think it's great the way that you mentioned that you're teaching people to be mindful. I think that's above anything else. Before you start even talking about diet, it's like always be checking in with your body, you know? Like when I work with people, I have them do a food and mood journal. Yes. So, you know, they hate it because it's a lot of work. They're like, I just want to eat. But I'm like, no, you got to eat and write stuff down. But I'm like, I want to know everything. If you have a burger, I want to know every single thing that was on that burger. I want to know the type of bread. I want to know not like every ingredient, but like, I want to know what you ate. And then I want you to tell me in that same block of time, how did you feel? And then people start to make the connection. They go, well, I bring this lean cuisine with me to work. And then I eat the lean cuisine at 12. And then at 2 o'clock, I just feel tired and I feel moody. And it happens every time I have the lean cuisine. It's right there on the paper. And I go, well, maybe there is some connection there, right? What happens if we take that out and substitute it out, you know? And I think they start making the connections that way.
But had they not done that, you know, through the process and working with you, I'm low mood, I'm irritable. Well, then you go to psychiatrist, you don't get an antidepressant, right? Mm-hmm. Or a mood stabilizer. And that's a Band-Aid. You're not getting to root the problem, because, I mean, probably there's toxins, of course, in that lean cuisine, right? I mean, so it's just a process. So it's just changing the conversation, right? And so I think that slowing things down and doing that food and mood journal and having the conversation, because people just aren't slowing down. People are like constant, just full speed ahead. And I think that also the coronavirus, as painful as it's been, it's made people do what? Slow down.
There's one silver lining, is that people are now talking about health. I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I like to use Google Trends. You know, it's a real interesting tool on Google. And, you know, you can see what people are Googling, right? And, you know, you could see today, or like you could see this week, you could see this year, you could see all the way back to 15, 20 years ago, right? And when the coronavirus hit in March, I'm not even exaggerating. Homeopathy, the term homeopathy, was a full-on hockey stick. It went here and it went like that, like in the middle of March. So people were looking for this stuff, you know? Not to say that homeopathy is the answer, but it's like people were like, I need to get away from this mainstream thing and start finding more alternative, sustainable stuff.
And I believe it, because when I was trying to get my homeopathic, I couldn't find it. I couldn't get it from the actual company. It wasn't in the stores. I mean, so I absolutely believe it. I mean, it flew off the shelves. You could even order it from the companies, you know, directly to the sellers. I mean, it was depleted for months.
Yeah.
So I believe it. And so, but I think that that's also people who are, like you said, we need to do something differently. You know, it's the medications. And now, for example, they first were amping up the hydrochloroquine, and that's proven to be an issue. People are not, just don't want to have these heavy medications and to deal with the effects of them. You know, that you feel horrible, you want to get better, but you don't want to have to struggle to get there and to borrow other problems in order to get better. I mean, which means you may not ever really get solely better in having these medications.
Yeah. And you see it, they talk about this so much, but I find it just gets swept under the rug every time I hear it, but it disproportionately affects people with pre-existing conditions, you know? So people who have metabolic issues, especially, are the biggest targets for it. And, you know, how do you get metabolic issues? You know, I mean, yeah, granted, some people have genetic issues. I totally get that. And even people that have type 2 diabetes have genetic underlyings, but again, there's the idea of epigenetics, which I think can throw people for a loop, that you can control that, again, with diet and lifestyle. So there's always going to be a holistic solution.
Yes. And so that's why, so I love this thing that what they say in integrative medicine, that, you know, your genetics is your liability, but it does not have to be your destiny. So you can turn off some of those markers, you know, with lifestyle changes. But how will you know that if you don't kind of go down this route of integrative medicine or functional medicine? You know, you can find out this information, and it's a wealth of it, and knowing like what's that roadmap that you can turn these markers off, so like you won't have to live with diabetes or whatever other heart issues and things like that. You have to know. And that's one thing about doing some of these other blood tests with Dr. McKnight, because they're pretty sophisticated. It's not your typical LabCorp or Quest kind of a lab work. I mean, it really looks at you know, your heart functioning in a different kind of way. So like you can have your athlete who runs miles and marathons, and then next minute it has a heart attack. And so it's like, but the, you know, the HDL and LDL in the proper levels didn't have high blood pressure. But there's a protein, and then there's some genetics that can kind of put someone at risk for that. And if you don't run it, you don't know it, and you can't do anything about it. And there's also nutraceuticals you can do to kind of to reverse it. So lots of these things, there's homeopathy and nutraceuticals and botanicals that can be done to reverse a lot of these chronic illnesses. But you won't know if you don't have the conversation.
And what is that blood test that Dr. McKnight runs? Is there a specific name? Or
it's a micronutrient panel test that she runs with cardio metabolic panel.
Okay.
And it looks at the HDL, LDL, but LP little a, and instead of just C-reactive protein, it's the high sensitive C-reactive protein.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, so C-reactive protein, okay, you know, you might be fine, but like technically they want you to be below, you know, the range is 1 to 3, but if you're below that, then you're sitting pretty good. And you want us to stay there. But she does high sensitive, which is really good.
When you say high sensitive, does that, it's still the same C-reactive protein test, but it's just a much more specific range?
Correct. So it has HS-C-reactive protein on it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So then when you get that from the lab, it tells you what the proper diet you should be on. It tells you what you need to do to work on certain things. And so it's really a wealth of information. So you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm doomed. You know, I have, you know, these heart issues, or my cardiometabolic panel is kind of out of whack. But you can do things, and there's just supplements you can take. Of course you change your diet. Of course you exercise, but you don't, it's not always a prescription. For example, statins, direct correlation to cognitive issues and cognitive decline. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's just like you have these, which you, and I like the way that you say it's effects, not side effects. It's the effect of taking the medication, which I think is an awesome way to look at it. And these things happen. And so then no wonder why you have a rise of what? Alzheimer's disease, which is, they consider to be type 3 diabetes. Mm-hmm. But it is also what? That's inflammation. And so again, you know, cooling down the body. And so again, if your body's inflamed, so is your brain. Cool it down. And I think it's just awesome kinds of tests to have, and to kind of, and I've done the tests, and I've had Dr. McKnight run them on me as well. I want to know, how can I be at the best? How can I optimize? What do I need to kind of, you know, tighten up? I know some of these things, but I'm not perfect. I'm breathing the same air as everybody else. And so I need to kind of detoxify. I need to kind of cleanse things out and optimize whatever it might be, you know, out of whack and how do I kind of cool off the cortisol and reduce the stress? Because we're all amongst the environment, and how do we, again, optimize?
Right. You use a lot of different therapies too to help people with this, which I find really interesting. And you know, I see kind of floating around the biohacking world and into this integrative medicine world. And it's, I've never done some of these, but you do like ozone sauna. Can you talk about that?
Oh, I saw this is awesome. So I tried it for the first time when I went to the IMMH conference. And so the ozone sauna is that you go into this chamber, your head is up out of it, but you have the pulsating, you know, sensation inside of it that helps to kind of help with the lymphatic system. And then you also have the oxygen, because many people, so for example, those who have brain-based illnesses don't get enough oxygen to the brain. So it helps. So it's just a little piece of oxygen that's being pumped into you, but it's a huge detox. You know, and you detox all the elements in the body. So it shows to help with a lot of chronic illnesses, variety of chronic illnesses, and helps people with, you know, MS, autism, Alzheimer's, any major illness that people in America are dealing with today can benefit from it. And then you also can put a diffuser. So like frankincense is typically a good one to use, because that's a good one that helps to calm down the central nervous system.
When you go in the ozone sauna, I'm just not so familiar with ozone. So is it, that's like a smaller molecule of oxygen?
Correct.
Okay. And then so when it's being essentially pumped in through your skin absorbs it, and then it goes into your liver and then cleans out the liver? Or how does that exactly work?
So you know how a typical sauna, it heats you up, and that's one way of detoxing the body through
right.
the heat. This one's different. It's pulsating, and so it raises the temperature, and then it drops the temperature. It raises the temperature, then drops the temperature. And so, and you really see it's transdermally. So then you'll feel the effects of it through your skin. You'll feel like you just had like a body wrap, you know, in a spa by the time you come out of this sauna. And so, and it's just, it purifies and detoxifies the body. Yes, the liver, but it doesn't kind of, there's nothing that's infused into the body at all directly.
Okay, got you. So it's literally, it's like pulling these toxins out of the blood then directly.
Right.
And correct. It's almost working like a sauna, but like a more kind of micro targeted
exactly.
sauna. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so cool. I want to try. I love when I hear about these toys. I'm like, oh, I want to try one. And it's like, well, you got to find somebody who has it.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome. So they have them, like they typically show up when they go to these conferences.
Yeah.
Integrative medicine conferences. Because they had that one there, and they also have the Ion Cleanse there as well, which is the foot spa where they pull all the toxins out.
Okay.
Pretty disgusting, you know, when the water gets murky looking, but you feel like, okay, I did something great. But people feel energized immediately. It's an immediate response.
Yeah.
You know, and getting that out. And then with the biomat, that's using infrared, far infrared to kind of heat up the body. And so that's a way of reducing inflammation. And it also kicks in the endorphins in the brain.
Oh,
so
wow.
When someone comes into my office, they will do an ion cleanse and lay on the biomat while listening to a meditation before we do the talk therapy. So I truly integrate body and mind in my sessions.
Yeah. So I was, I did another podcast with another integrative psychiatric practitioner, and she uses this thing called Phoenix Rising Yoga for, as like a substitute for talk therapy. But like what she does, she puts them in yoga positions and then asks them questions and has them respond. And I was like, wow, that would be, 'cause when I do yoga, I feel so many emotions. I have so many thoughts, and it's like, I would love to like work through my issues while I feel like it's a great way to do. And the biomat too, when you're cleansing out, it's like physically you're people forget the body mind, we're releasing the emotion. So when you start putting the physical in there versus sitting in a chair or lying on a couch, maybe you're not tapping into the real deep stuff. You're just kind of working through surface issues. But to get deep in, it's like you want to physically move the body from these hot zone points in your body.
That's right. And you mentioned about, you just said tapping. So that's another technique, actually, is tapping. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, no tapping. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another way. It's another technique of actually connecting the body and the mind together.
Yeah. Tapping is so powerful. You have to be careful when you do it. You can't do it at the wrong time of day, because it could chill you out too much.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So kind of, it does depend when to do it and what's going on and what is the words that you're attaching to what you're, you know, when you're tapping. But yeah, it's another powerful tool that people find to be effective. It's just kind of, people have to just be open to it. You know, fine, it feels kind of weird and different, but also the same points that you tap on, if people don't feel comfortable tapping, because still considered a pressure point, you can just press on them for acupressure.
I mean, it's like, it even comes down to that thing where, and this is a big thing that's been for me during the coronavirus, is just getting out and like going for a walk, you know, and you forget how therapeutic that is, right? It's so simple, but it's like when you're sitting there and you're working, or even if you're just watching TV, I mean, if you get up and just kind of reset the brain and walk, like these different things, these different movements, you know, action, reaction, right? It's like you forget how powerful the body is in expressing emotions and creating emotions. So yeah, as long as people are open to that idea, I mean, I'd imagine that's very powerful and you probably get a lot of great results.
Yes. Yes. So just, you know, one patient at a time.
Yeah. Well, this has been amazing, Dr. Leslie Sanders. I'm so glad we got to connect here. You've definitely dropped a lot of real interesting knowledge. Before we close out, I'm wondering maybe if you have anything you'd like to close out on.
Thank you. So yes, I am doing virtual sessions at this time. So unfortunately, it is harder to do a lot of these other integrative medicine tools and techniques because we're all at home. One thing that can be done at home, though, is actually just taking a magnesium bath. And so I've been, you know, trying to have some other supplementation for people to do at home. But people can find me at drsanders@lifelongwellnessdc.com. That's a direct email address to me. And I think that people can just understand that they can feel empowered and that they have a say-so and they can have control over their health and well-being, and just to be brave enough to have these kinds of conversations, and that they don't have to feel like that they have to be tied to any kind of medication for the rest of their life.
Yes. Empowerment. That's yep. The first step. Well, this has been awesome. I'm so excited for people to hear this podcast, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. For more brain-boosting info, in-depth articles, and show notes, check out holisticnootropics.com.